I'm Phil Robinson. I directed Some of All Fears, and I'm honored and pleased to be sitting here with Tom Clancy.
I'm Tom Clancy. I wrote the book that they ignored.
We didn't completely ignore it.
You got a couple of things right.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the broad strokes, the idea that it's a nuke that's lost in 73, the terrorists fashion into a new bomb to use in a plot to make it look as if the Russians are attacking the Americans. I mean, I think that and Jack is racing against time to stop that.
He caught a few of the eye points, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you about something that you had told me once about the rumors that, indeed, a nuke was lost in the 73 war.
No, none was lost, but one of the things I found after I wrote the book was that in October 73, when the war caught Israel by considerable strategic surprise, they did indeed go on nuke alert, and they had weapons attached to delivery platforms. But then, as I say in the book, common sense broke out, and they decided maybe it's not a good idea to drop a nuke.
Mm-hmm.
But sure enough, the Israelis have nukes. Their first crop of them were built, actually, with American special nuclear material. Lyndon Johnson probably set that up.
Really?
Yeah, the material was delivered from a depot in somewhere in Pennsylvania. And it was covered by an accounting screw-up. And so the first Israeli nukes were made with American special nuclear material, just as I said in the book.
Hmm.
Now, whether or not it came out of K-reactor on the Savannah River, I'm not sure, but sure enough, it was American U-235 or plutonium-239.
And they've never acknowledged that.
They don't even acknowledge that they have nukes, but everybody knows they have them. There are plutonium plants at a place called Dimona in the Negev Desert. And that's your representation of a SAM-6.
And these are made of wood also.
Sure. The real ones are kind of expensive. Well, right after the war ended, the Israelis were good enough to get us a whole battery that went immediately off to Nellis Air Force Base so the Air Force could play with it.
Oh, that they had captured from the Syrians?
Yeah. Only dropped once, yeah. This is why they don't put their wife and kid on the dashboard of the airplane.
To not be distracted.
If you're flying a tactical airplane, you don't want to be distracted.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have avoided that. It probably would have taken more than one to get him.
How would he have avoided that?
Because an airplane can maneuver more, can change direction more rapidly than a missile because it has larger control surfaces.
Right. And how far away would he be aware of that missile?
Well, it depends. The problem with the SAM-6 was the threat receivers didn't pick up the illumination radar, and that's the reason why it was initially fairly effective until they figured out what was wrong, and after which the SAM-6 was no more effective than anything else the Arabs had. And the other thing to remember is supposedly no pilot has ever been killed by a SAM he could see. If you can see him, you can outmaneuver him and avoid him.
Unless they send three of them at you, different altitudes.
That makes things a little bit more difficult, yeah. But a good friend of mine used to fly Weasel. I mean, that's direct. His mission was to kill SAM sites.
Hmm.
He said, look, if you can see it, you can outmaneuver it.
When I was in the Air Force, I talked to a C-130 pilot who told me that that he was flying in Vietnam and they fired three of them at him.
Damn.
And he had the loadmaster in the back. They had the cargo door open. And he said to the guy, when that third one is close enough that you can read the letters, yell. And he said, we just made a hard turn that the aircraft was not built to make and got away.
Well, a Herky Bird's a great transport, but I mean, it's a four-engine propeller-driven transport. It has trouble outmaneuvering a cloud.
It does not turn on a dime.
You know, and this, I can actually see where my house is when that's shot.
Is that right?
Yeah. By the way, who told you it was Mount Weather the president hides out at?
Well, we did a lot of research. The government, I'd read a lot about Mount Weather, and the government denied that they still use it, which made me think that they do.
You know, the president goes aboard NECAP. And by the way, you didn't call it NECAP.
Well, the Air Force told us they changed the name. When I flew on the plane several years ago, it was still the NECAP, and now it's the NAOC. I don't know why they changed it. But one thing we were told about Mount Weather is that the executive branch still has shadow offices there, that each federal agency mm-hmm. has got some staff there at all times.
It's a place for simple people to sit at their desks and do important work, right?
This part we shot in the Diefenbunker, which is the Canadian government's...
Should have gone to the Greenbrier out in West Virginia. That's the congressional bomb shelter. You know, it's only a mm-hmm. coincidence it has three golf courses and indoor tennis.
Peace as hell.
He's done well for a chicken farm or a pig farmer, hasn't he?
James Cromwell's done very well. Very well. When you think of the range of roles this guy has played, from that to the corrupt police chief in L.A. Confidential, where he was great, and mm-hmm. Stretch Cunningham on Archie Bunker, he's a wonderful actor.
And Freeman, I just met him briefly. He seems like a classy guy.
Very classy, very very funny, very dry sense of humor, great dignity, very honest, and just a terrific performer.
Sorry, now, is that the guy who just played Lyndon Johnson on HBO?
No, that Philip Baker Hall is the actor here playing the Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like him, though.
I mean, not the person, but the role. For the launch
sequence to process. A little bit of a hothead, isn't he?
Now, a civilian might be like that. A military guy is definitely not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, it's your wife. By the way, the president never participates in these exercises. Never.
Why is that?
Because word could get out how he reacted in the crisis, and the other side knows how to play him. Okay. So, you know, the president never participates in one of these saga games.
Interesting. Can we, And they're worried that word would get out just from the people in this room.
Correct. People talk.
Yeah.
How do you think I get information?
I was going to ask you.
No. When I was working on the movie, I was back in 1999, I had to fly up to Nebraska to give a speech. And I spent the morning of the speech at SAC. And the sink sack back then was an Air Force four-star named Jack Chain, very smart guy. And I had four questions to ask him about how the crisis was going to play out in the book. And it turned out I had all four answers already figured out. And I really felt good about that. And I was essentially saying, okay, if this happens, what are you going to think? What are you going to tell the president? And he thought it through and answered just the way I thought he would. But the guy in charge here knew she wanted him to be thoughtful and intelligent mm-hmm. more than anything else, because if he makes a mistake, you're in deep doo-doo.
Right. And don't underestimate
Zorkin, pal. And actually, there are three officers in the system in the event of a nuclear crisis, and their job is to keep the president calmed down. One of them is Sink NORAD at Colorado Springs. The other one is SACLAMP, Supreme Allied Commander Atlantic, and the third one is actually supposed to be Sink SAC. And their job is to keep the president calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff you did here is pretty good.
I was pleased with this. You know, we went to the Russia desk at Langley and patterned this set after what it looks like.
Well, I've been to the room. It's up on the seventh floor. Yeah.
But also that what these guys are doing. They when we were there, they said we watch Russian TV and we surf the web.
Oh yeah.
That's about 90% of the information they gather is from those two sources.
That's a good line from this guy. Is she really pregnant or is that
a
prosthesis?
No, that was a prosthesis. Yeah.
Okay.
And I just like the reading of tea leaves here about, you know, the shiny suit.
Yeah, it's pretty realistic. Yeah. Where's Chalinsky? If anything, they overanalyze it.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? You know, Sigmund Freud said sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
That's true. That is not Chalinsky. This is busted. But I remember in the old days watching the May Day parades, and that people would always be trying to figure out, why is this guy standing next to that guy on Lenin Street?
Okay, because this is the one nearest to the John, you know. but they never tell you that. You know? I remember that well. There have been books written about it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying Zorkin's putting on weight, really. I don't know why you guys have to reduce everything.
When we were at the Russia desk, it was interesting. They had divided up the responsibilities. There was one guy who was just following the oligarchy. One guy was just following the...
Great prosthesis, by the way. She really looks...
She does.
...terminally pregnant.
She does. And that actress played Elena Rishkoff in Sneakers. That's a little in joke we had with her.
Yeah, and I was just there. You know, the Austrians are kind of like the Germans without the sense of humor.
And running to Bill Clinton to save her maidenhood. A poet once wrote, meet the new boss, same as...
This organization could never exist in the real world. Number one, you never keep it quiet. Number two, the thing about Nazism that people just don't understand is that it had no ethos. At least in Marxism-Leninism had an ethos. It had a book.
Mm-hmm.
It had scripture that people could read. Hitlerism was just the ravings of one maniac.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Hitler went down, there was nothing there to replace him, thank God, because he was the only one who really believed. It was just one huge cult of personality.
Well, there's certainly a lot of extreme right-wing and fascist groups around the world. They're not connected as an ethos would connect them.
If there are, they've escaped my notice.
Yeah.
Now, why does he just wear an armband like a real Nazi?
I didn't even want to have that in there. I wanted this scene to be just this sort of slightly charming, charismatic guy that we'll find out later is a bad guy, but the studio felt strongly we wanted to say he was...
The line about Clinton was actually fairly clever. At this point, you get very, very careful. There's probably enough bombs on the go on that these people understand you don't mess with them once you find them.
Right.
Actually, what you do mainly is explode them in place. Just put a charge on them and blow them up right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're under the Louvre or anything.
Right.
That's it, huh?
What an acting man. You allow me to walk to live.
We shot the desert scenes in Death Valley in the summer, which meant that we had gone from 25 below degrees in Montreal in the winter to 130 above in the summer.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. It gets kind of warm. The NTC, National Training Center, is only about an hour's drive from there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there a couple of times. Yes, it does get a little warm in the summer. And surprisingly cold in the winter. I wonder how you say oh shit in Arabic when you drop something like that, because that's definitely when you say oh shit.
I would think.
Is this all second unit stuff?
Yes, we sent the second unit to Moscow, and later on you'll see they actually got to shoot inside the Kremlin grounds, which they were told was the first time they'd let a feature film crew in there. You bought to it.
I thought that was a tacky scene at first, then I realized it's not so bad at all.
I quite like it, actually.
Yeah, oops.
Is that yours or mine?
It must be yours. Mine's a shell.
It's not the hospital.
Hi.
You're still here?
Well, I think to be accurate and everything, it's actually you.
Cute scene.
Yeah. This is the day that the crew voted Ben luckiest man in the world.
Glad that I wasn't blaming.
It was the second day of shooting, actually. And it's a time.
Might as well start off with a bang, right?
It's a time. It's a time for the cast to get to know each other. And normally, you would never schedule a scene like this that early in the shoot when people don't know each other that well. But it was because Ben's schedule and the location schedule, we had to do it at the beginning.
I'm sure he didn't break his heart.
No, it didn't. And they were.
She just, seems like a very nice girl.
She's a wonderful person. She's true, and I think we got her at a very good time. I think she's going to be a big star. She's a wonderful actress. She's got a sense of humor. She's smart. She's pretty. And
just make her at least 2 hot dogs a day, will you?
And that scares you.
This is one place where Hollywood is really out of touch with reality. Women are not that skinny, except when modeling clothes in New York and Paris and in the movies. Unfortunately, well, I mean, she's a pretty girl and all that, and a nice girl, but. Real women eat.
She eats. Mm-mm. I've seen her eat. I've actually seen her eat.
Go away. It'll stop.
But I met her mom and dad last night. They're just nice thing and being.
Very nice.
What about your business?
Timing sucks.
Do what you have to do. I totally understand.
But when you come to L.A., we'll take her out to Mike Ovitz's sushi bar.
Oh, God, sushi. Ugh. I prefer my fish dead. When they wriggle off the plate, I worry.
Jesus. Okay, I'll be there in half an hour. I gotta go. I have an emergency at work. I have to run. I'm sorry. Daffy, yeah. How about dinner tonight?
Yeah.
How about tomorrow night?
Jack, I said yes to tonight.
I know.
Yeah, the folks at the Russia desk told us that they don't man it round the clock. There's nobody there on the weekends, but in case of an emergency, they show up. And we were trying to go for here. We didn't show enough of this set, that section between the two areas of the CIA where you walk through this hall with the acoustical tile.
No, it's for microwaves, not acoustics.
It's microwaves, huh?
Yeah. The whole thing is set up like a great big microwave oven, so microwaves can't leak out of the building.
Right. It's a building within a building.
Are you Ryan?
And there's a slight inaccuracy in this scene, which is that, Morgan Freeman comments on his clothes. In fact, most of the people in the CIA do dress the way Jack is dressed in the scene. Yep. It's a very informal place.
Well, come on, we're late.
It's a very odd place. I mean, I've lectured there a few times and been in there a couple of times. I just got invited again last night.
About to breathe
air. It's not a very good work environment.
You're going to be asked for analysis and advice. I'll be goddamn sure you know what you're
They took
about.
Us into their operations center, which we modeled the set after.
It's up on the seventh floor. I've been there.
Yeah, and when we walked in, a yellow light on the ceiling turned on, which told everybody in the room that
unclean
people were there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
This scene struck me as unlikely, but
the jacket and the tie.
Yeah.
I've watched these. But Morgan pulls it off, though. He's so good.
Yeah.
You never watch one of these on C-SPAN.
Now I'll tell you a funny story about this.
And this how do you do this room? And how you make the glass go cloudy? I'm very interested.
There's a kind of glass that has an electrical charge in it that you flick a switch and it turns opaque.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't have it in the Senate office building,
no,
trust me.
They certainly don't. We tried to find in Montreal and Ottawa and Quebec City a room that would look like a Senate hearing room, and we couldn't find one. You're kidding. They have a parliament. Just couldn't find one that looked like an American room.
Really?
So we thought, and I remembered a congressman...
So you do Mission Impossible. Yeah, right.
Well, a congressman friend of mine told me that there are two SCIF rooms in the Capitol. They're not as high-tech as this, but they're a secure... facilities that signals can't come out of. I thought, let's do that instead. So we got a little high tech, much more higher tech with it than the Capitol has. But
Nemiroff, is that his name?
Nemiroff, sir.
Mm-hmm. And it pretty much fixed the Congress, pretty much the way the Congress is.
How's that?
Some of them are pretty smart. Some of them are not pretty smart.
It's a bit too soon to make that assessment, sir.
Well, according to CNN, your Mr. Nesmeraz is making promises to rebuild the Russian Empire. That sounds pretty rash from where I sit. If I was sitting in Chechnya, I'd be even more worried.
Sir, Nemiroff just saying what he needs to say to get the hardliners off his back.
I've always seen people in these seats behind the man testifying.
Yeah.
I always wonder what they actually say.
Yeah, you invoke the Fifth Amendment, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Mr. Cabot.
Mr. Chairman, some of our assets in the Russian government who actually know Mr. Nemiroff...
Why did he resurrect his character from the dead? I mean, in the book, he's not really all that important.
Cabot?
Yeah.
When we made Jack Ben's age, we felt it was very important to have a mentor, an older person who would, in fact, be his entree into the higher levels of the intelligence community and the government. And I seem to recall that the first and only name we ever talked about was Morgan.
Fine with me, he's a good actor.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Then Gloria, I thought he's the guy who should have got the Oscar.
He was terrific in that film.
Yeah, and so was Matthew Broderick, actually. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like Steve McQueen in The Sand Pebbles. It was a great role of his life, but he came up the wrong year.
Your girlfriend right. like this stubborn speak in you? What? Kathy Muller, second-year surgical resident, Baltimore Memorial.
This is bullshit. No. If CIA was that, paid that much attention to its employees, Aldra James would not have got 12 men killed.
Your intelligence is a little flawed in this matter. I wouldn't call her my girlfriend yet.
It's actually, it's forbidden by federal law for them to do that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I just assumed when Cabot decided to find the young guy who wrote that memo on Nemirov that he was going to find out something about him.
Yeah, you call him in your office, you talk to him, that's what you do.
So what does he do?
But, you know, sending FBI agents, and that's who you use to get background information on people, you got to have a good reason. It has to be within the law.
Oh, I figured he just talked to Mary Pat or somebody and said, what's the story on this kid?
Oh, that's the other beef I've got. Mary Pat, she's a field spook, not an analyst. She's in my current book. She's been in several of my books.
He's, cute.
And Mary Pat Foley's a clandestine officer in the Director of Operations, and a very good one.
I don't know. 12.
Ask them where they found this.
Itu wen lah itu ahai.
Fil ardi, fil jolan.
In the field, in the Golan.
There was quite a lot of fighting there in 1973. Did they witness it?
كان في كتير حروبات هون بثلاثة وسبعين.
ما إني في الحرب.
This one says he lost his son.
Does he remember? Was there a plane shot down?
أنت بتتذكر إذا شفت طيارة انضربت بالنار ووقعت؟
نعم. It was a very controversial decision that I had made early on. I said I don't want people speaking accented English to each other when they
That's a good call.
When they would be speaking in their native language. And the studio kept saying no, please, we don't want that. And I said to them, look, we'll have a minimum of subtitles. I'll either have somebody translating, or when we need to, there'll be subtitles. But just. It just feels more real when people speak the language they would actually speak.
Because of his son.
But that was the subject of many discussions.
Who's that actor?
His name is Stefan Khalifa. He's from London.
Really?
And he's actually not Arabic. He's...
No, I mean the fellow on the left.
Oh, I'm sorry. The fellow on the left is Colm Feore. He's a Canadian, a great Canadian actor.
All right. Your little trip to the attic, I think, has got you a piece worth now the best part of £1,000, even in this condition. And had she been in better condition, even more. So, a jolly nice find. I wonder if you could tell me how this rather beautiful lady ended up with such a broken nose.
Well, no, I'm afraid I can't tell you why she had a broken nose.
How does the $50 million sound?
Cheap. I have no idea what the black market value of one of those things is, but 50 strikes me as kind of low. I mean, there aren't too many of those things around at the Western Auto Store, you know?
True. Well, it's priced for immediate sale.
I'm going to be cash or charge. Wrong kind of airplane.
Hello?
What would they be using?
They call them, the Air Force calls it a VC-20.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Gulfstream 3, various modifications.
I'm really sorry.
If you go to Andrews Air Force, they've got 20 of them lined up.
Right. I think this was one of those things where the product placement people got us one at a reduced rate if we use that one, so...
I don't even know what kind of a jet it is. Maybe a Falcon?
It's a Dassault, I think.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell you that, Jack.
You can't tell me where you go.
This is cute, but Jack. You know, it's not a secret you work at CIA.
I know. This was one of the cheats we made. In fact, the kids at the Russia desk all told us, because I said to them, what do you tell your friends? And they said, no, we tell them we work at the CIA.
Where you go?
They think it's cool.
Tell them who you work for. Should be impressed.
I thought this was more we had a scene in the movie we cut out where... Jack and Kathy are talking, and she says to him, why didn't you tell me where you worked? And he says, because I was afraid you wouldn't go out with me. And she says, I wouldn't have. And they have a laugh about that. So I thought it was more a character thing than it was a corporate thing.
I swear, it's because of the START treaty. We get to inspect to make sure they're really decommissioning their nuclear arsenal. Hello? Hello?
Riemann, he's the guy who makes the scene work.
He's great.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
That's a good scene. I give you that one. It's pretty good. We have the St. Lawrence River.
No, this is
Moscow. Moscow. Yeah.
And the second unit guys who had shot in Moscow before called us after they did this very excitedly. They said they let us get on the grounds.
Through the Spassky Gate.
Now we're in the lobby of a hotel in Montreal.
Now, if you want to shoot an exotic hotel lobby, you go to the Imperial in Vienna. It's like a royal palace.
President Nemirov.
Put that one in the back of your head. It's a very impressive sight.
Vienna is a pretty impressive city,
except for the people.
Pleasure, sir. May I present Mrs. Lathrop?
Mr. President.
And this actor, Kieran Hines, who's Irish, had never spoken a word of Russian until 2 weeks before he started this movie.
Mm.
And man, did he get a crash course.
This guy?
The president, yeah, Nemirov.
You must be the Dr. Ryan who has done such interesting research on me.
It fooled me. I thought him a native Russian speaker.
Yeah, he's quite... he's got a great ear, and he picked up the language very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And worked really hard.
He looks like he belongs in the role.
Yes. I mean, we were going for not look-alikes for Yeltsin and Putin, but archetypes in a way.
Yeah, so he looks Russian. He does. He does a very good job with this.
Yeah. He's a wonderful actor. He's a fellow who's been... he's worked a lot in England and Ireland over the years and hasn't done much here. And one of the casting directors at the studio said to us, you know, every casting director I know has been trying to get this guy in an American film for years and they've never been able to, so we had a real coup getting him.
He doesn't like making money?
I asked him about it. He said he just was never available.
Mm.
First, let me apologize for interjecting myself in your inspection tour.
But there is a message I wish for...
Most of the people who play Russians in the film are Russian. With a few exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like him to hear it from you, his friend of many years. You received it personally from me, so my expression and the language of my body as I spoke it.
And this bit of the DCI doing a little diplomacy is something that I wouldn't have thought of until George Tenet got so involved in the Middle East piece.
Mm, yeah, I've always wondered about that. But Tenet's a pretty smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, I'd say there's no way a DCI would go to Russia.
Uh-huh.
And that's because I know a former DDI, or Deputy Director of the CIA, Admiral Bobby Inman, who said, he was tempted to fly over Eastern Europe. He said, no, I'd just be too much of a temptation for him.
Really?
Yeah. And Bobby Inman, he is a very, very smart guy.
Stability is our concern. Peace in Chechnya is our concern. And, if I may speak frankly,
I'm sure they wouldn't be having this conversation in front of the camera crew, but...
Well, the Russians can control their press a little bit more stringently than we can.
Yeah.
That's like a gun to a head to get somebody's attention.
For you to get involved here, it's like sleeping with another man's wife. And what you're suggesting is that afterward, they can all live together under the same roof. But what really happens...
In other words, this is Russia, not Hollywood.
The betrayed husband buys a gun.
No, this is a...
This guy.
Yes.
On the left.
Grishkov.
That went well.
He was pretty damn good.
He's a wonderful actor named Michael Byrne. He's British. One of the reasons I cast him is that I wanted somebody who, most of the movie, he just lurks. He just stands in the background and lurks. Mm-hmm. And I wanted somebody who had a magnetic look about him. He's got these very piercing eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And oh boy, is he a good actor.
He looks just like what you portray him to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm. This is about the point in the movie where some people in the audience are scratching their heads saying, what do all these different things that we've seen now have in common? And that to me was the homage to Tom Clancy. It was one of the things that's great about your books is that you have all of these seemingly unrelated things that you weave together.
Yeah.
And it's not the traditional movie storytelling structure. But I wanted to do that because I think the audience can follow that if you challenge them.
This is obviously a dairy farm in Canada.
It's actually the water treatment plant.
Oh, really?
And we with computer graphics, put some of the onion domes in the background. But this shot was in winter, and this shot here was in spring with phony snow out there because we didn't have Morgan in the winter.
How do you get that much phony snow?
Oh, it was days and days and days of work for a very short shot. And this is the water treatment plant.
Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be a bomb or a torpedo?
A bomb.
Wrong proportions.
A torpedo.
Wrong proportions for that.
Oh, that was a trick question.
They all die trying.
I told you beforehand, it's bullshit.
Well, now, wait, you told me that we had originally five or six people, and you said, well, two or three maybe. So that's why we changed it to three.
Oh, okay.
And this, you know, if I had this scene to do over again, I wouldn't have people working on different bombs. I think they'd be doing one at a time.
That I couldn't tell you. You'd have to call people with pants. Oh, that's this thing with the shirt's pretty good.
Yeah.
The people who do it in America are in Amarillo, Texas, a place called Pantex.
We saw photographs of the Russian decommissioning facilities, and they were very unimpressive little small rooms that looked like just sort of small lab rooms.
Sorry. What'd you expect? Movie set?
According to this, there are 17 senior scientists on duty today. I only count 14. Doctors Milanov, Orloff, and Spassky. They don't seem to be here.
CIA is nowhere near that good.
I will make inquiries.
Dr. Milanov is out sick.
Who is?
Orloff is on vacation.
Nobody.
Spassky, I am grieved to say, was killed. Driving his car to work just this past week. We move on, shall we?
Please. Very impressive.
And I look at the scene now, I think there's too many different people doing too many different things in there. It doesn't feel like everybody's working on one thing.
It would probably be fairly linear.
Yeah.
I had trouble with this, too. I mean, getting a nuke, first they have to get it into Israel from Syria, and out of Israel into a ship. Israeli port and border security is actually supposed to be pretty good.
That's a good point. They would check things pretty carefully. That's true. What port would they have gone out of from the Middle East?
What's the name of it? It's just north of Lebanon in Syria on the Mediterranean coast.
Mm-hmm.
Latakia. I'm not sure of the name.
But it's Lebanese?
No, it's Syrian.
Syrian, right.
Three missing scientists. Milanov's expertise is detonators. Spassky's expertise is the package, the nuclear core itself. And Orlov is a mathematician whose expertise is the geometry of high explosives inside a fission bomb.
It's called the physics package, by the way.
The physics package.
Part that goes boom.
Ushkov would have us believe.
Ushkov's a liar. Milanov is not sick. Orlov hasn't taken a vacation in years, and Spassky was supposed to die driving a car. Doesn't drive.
They have no idea where
he's driving. Not that good. Nobody is.
Now, we've suggested that Cabot has a relationship with Grishkov. Is that believable? That people would give
Actually, it is. As unlikely as it sounds, yes, it's possible.
Inside the Kremlin. Code name, Spinnaker.
They obviously pick and choose what they give each other, so it's nothing damaging. But
I'll give you a story about SDI work that's positively bizarre. I'll do it off, off mic.
Speaking of disaster, did you call your girlfriend yet?
No. I haven't figured out how I'm going to dig myself out of this one.
All right, listen. Call her up and invite her to the White House Correspondents' Dinner Sunday night. It's the hottest ticket in town. She'll love it.
Sounds great.
Now, whether or not spooks go to that, I don't know.
Well, I figure if Ozzy Osbourne can go.
Yeah.
Liev Schreiber was so cold and so wet this night because I wanted him not under an umbrella waiting. And he was a real trooper.
I was impressed with him when I met him yesterday.
He's a terrific guy, and boy, he's a good actor.
How come he hasn't made it bigger?
He has on stage, and I think his film career is really starting to really jump into high gear. He did a brilliant Hamlet on Broadway a couple of years ago.
Really?
Just brilliant. And last year he played Iago in Othello and just got the greatest reviews I've ever read. He's a very, very smart actor.
Where's he from?
He's from New York.
Jewish?
Yes. Mm. Russian. I think his grandfather is Russian.
Comes across as smart and tough.
Yep. And it was his idea to add the slight reluctance to the character, which I thought was a very nice touch.
And guess what? People don't jump up and down for joy about going into dangerous places.
Exactly.
They do it because they have to, not because they like it.
Exactly.
My beautiful wife, Julie, is from New Jersey. 15 electoral votes.
This is cute. This is a pretty good speech.
Thank you. I'm very proud of this. I wrote this speech.
Oh, yeah?
Because I had asked a guy who had been a presidential joke writer to write it, and we were about a week away, and he hadn't written it yet, so I just sat up one night, wrote it. I emailed it to him, and he said, yeah, it's fine.
The best part comes about 2 minutes when all the beepers start going off at the same time. That struck me as a damn fine scene.
Great. I was a little concerned that people might not stand up while the president is still there, but it does lend a certain urgency to it, doesn't it?
As a young Marine officer in Vietnam, I did on a handful of occasions smoke marijuana. California, 54 of the world.
The one thing that I wished I had done in this scene that I didn't do is when the Secretary of State comes up, somebody should have put their hand over the microphone when he's talking to the president. Right here.
That would have a lot of reporters wet in their pants.
Absolutely.
That was a particularly good punctuation mark.
Oh, thank you.
At approximately 0600 Moscow time, the Russians launched a massive artillery strike against Grozny, the capital of Chechnya.
And this, we spent some time in this White House sit room. And
the real one?
The real one.
And I've never been there myself.
I've been there twice now, and that's exactly what it looks like. It's just a very boring little conference room. Very un-high-tech. It's got a couple of phones behind the president's chair. And I believe there's a screen back there, but it's behind panels.
Which means no way in hell. Chemical weapons are not that efficient unless you drown them in this stuff.
First thing we could do is nothing.
I agree. If you let them get away.
And dependent on weather, I would think also.
Extremely, and they're just inefficient by their very nature.
Mm-hmm.
Short of gassing the Kremlin, what's the strongest response we can make?
We send in peacekeepers.
Chechnya's not sovereign.
Look, they requested recognition, so we recognize them. Not full diplomatic.
When we scouted the Situation Room, they showed us that there's another outside these doors in the back of the room. There's a lot of area, technical equipment and all the communications gear, and then behind that is another Situation Room, which is smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the feeling that the real one is downstairs. Because I was taken voluntarily into this one twice. They said, come on, we'll show you where the president sits.
What do you think?
I think they stomp one around a little hard and a little fast here.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. President.
He's there because he's smart, and therefore you listen to him before you shut him down.
The traditional Russian role. The aggressive, flex your muscles, dare the world to stop you. But Nemirov isn't conventional.
He walks like a hardliner.
Would he be standing at that point?
With all due respect,
not necessarily.
He just gassed the capital.
Good. We had a debate about that on the day.
So what are we wasting our time for?
Now, maybe Robert McNamara would have shut him down like that, but not a more recent guy. You don't get to be that important and that powerful by being an idiot. At least not usually.
Or a splinter military unit, frustrated they couldn't get the rest of the rebels out of the city.
Have you any reason to believe he didn't order it, or are you just floating this?
I don't think
somebody at the screening last night who is a PhD said to me, she says, that moment captures what academics are like, that we can't say I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When you leave the Situation Room, you actually go through a little entryway and then into the hallway to the White House mess.
Butler's Pantry, yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the few places in the White House I've never seen. White House mess, good place to get a hamburger.
Yeah, the food's pretty good. Navy staff.
Yep. The Corps looks about right.
It's pretty good. We had them take us to lunch there so that the production designer could be making drawings all the time. They didn't want us taking pictures, but she was able to sit there and draw surreptitiously. And it was her choice to have war paintings on the wall. She had a
They had a lot of the War of 1812 stuff.
Right.
Was my decision. Let's go, Ace.
You see, on the one hand, you have the dichotomy of the CIA knows his dick size, for Christ's sake. And CIA and the Russians know everything there is to know about our guys. But then they can't find out something that's important. There's a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm. Просто уберіть їх, наче весь мир знает, что я не контролировал ситуацию. В наше время лучше
ситуация. Actually, if Chief would tell the world you're back in control, you're back in the saddle in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure I agree with that.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that at the time. And
I am not affected.
I take the point.
I remain devoted to our little plan.
I do think there are times when leaders publicly will endorse really heinous things, knowing in private that it's wrong. I mean, we're just this year we heard the LBJ tapes, and from 64, 65, where he said Vietnam's the wrong war for us to be in, it's unwinnable, and yet in public he was getting us deeper.
There's a book you should read about that. It's called Dereliction of Duty. I know the author.
Je vous prie de m'excuser, but so much has changed. Perhaps the new situation suggests we consider a different...
We're coming from another Hollywood sacrament. I mean, the utterly ruthless people. People like that don't make friends. They don't have followers. They don't have people who trust them. You can't do that stuff. It's just contrary to human nature.
We have discussed that, Monsieur Monceau. And with your concurrence, rejected it.
Oh. Hollywood likes superheroes and supervillains, but such people don't exist in the real world.
Well, I agree, and I think that what we were going for here is that he's a businessman. He's sort of the modern version of the... You know, one of the things I think the bad guys have learned in recent years is you put on a nice face for the public, you have nicely tailored suits, you speak well, and you don't twirl your mustache in public.
Aryan nations, zum ersten Mal alle zusammen. Das ist doch perfekt. Well, I respect the will and judgment of my friends. But in light of the weeks
when we were working on this scene, Dan Pine, who's one of the screenwriters, was reading a lot about Haider in Austria.
Beg your leave.
We were interested in this. He was a wealthy guy who actually did well in politics despite holding really heinous right-wing views.
In Austria doesn't surprise me. And the reason he'll whack the guy is because there may be a letter sitting in his lawyer's office somewhere outlining the whole plot. That's his life insurance policy.
Right. I was uncomfortable with whacking him in the office. Originally, we had planned to do it somewhere else, and then we...
Well, all these guys watching thinking, shit, that could be me next week.
Right, right.
I can see my condo there. Dundalk, it should be Dundalk Marine Terminal, by the way.
Yo, what's up, Mason? You know, I always wanted to ask you, where'd you get that tat, man?
Navy.
Navy?
This is another one of those moments where people are scratching their head saying, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And movies don't do that often enough. Books do, and I it's one of the reasons that I think books pull you through, because you keep wanting to learn more.
Mm-hmm. No, in the movie, the quintessential scene of that type is the trees. They get cut down and they fall off the ship. What the hell is that all about?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Because it takes a long time for that subplot to...
Yeah, about 800 pages.
To pay off. For a long time, I thought that was just a subterfuge, that that wasn't they weren't really shipping the trees. Mm-hmm. There was something else going on.
The attack is not.
Правда? Что ты будешь делать?
Ничего. Мы ничего не будем делать.
These are 4 hours old Russian 12th, 15th, and 2nd regiments.
Aren't good enough.
Yeah.
They're better than that. You get that off commercial satellite now.
Well, I think that is where we got that.
Jack, Look. Nimrov's got like, what, 19,000 tanks? No way NATO can match that.
No, that's why he's not going to move them.
And this is like total crap.
He's just thinking three moves ahead. He knows he has so many more tanks than we do. The NATO playbook.
Well, it's already old Cold War information. Yeah.
They ain't like that anymore. 19,000 tanks are called targets.
I also think he's sending us a message. He didn't bomb Grozny.
Because they're vulnerable today in a way they weren't before. The airspace.
No, we just didn't know how vulnerable they were, 50 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian, I've driven Russian T-72 tanks. They're death traps.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's the way to kill three people in a hurry.
Я не видел Сашу с университета.
Ты был его ассистентом?
Да.
Странно, я не помню тебя.
Когда он узнал, что я буду в Арзанасе? Carton
of cigarettes. That's such a nice touch.
Yeah. In the emphysema ward.
Говорит, что увезет меня на Запад.
Для этого нужны деньги.
Если дурак ему не платит, так другие нашлись. У него секретная работа.
Государственная?
Для богатых дураков. Но это абсолютно то же самое.
This is really realistic. People do talk this way. It's the bane of security officers.
Еще запретили звонить матери.
This guy, what's his name again?
Liev Schreiber.
I'm impressed with him. Yeah, he'll get more work.
He will as long as I'm working. And he's actually, I think he's really clicking now. I think a lot of people are recognizing how great he is.
He'll get noticed in here. He does a good job, and it's not much of a role, but he defines it fairly well.
Yeah, he's very smart. He makes use of every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Abandoned Soviet Army base outside of Cherkasy on the Kremenchug Reservoir.
What are three Russian atomic scientists doing in Ukraine?
Fair guess, they're building a bomb.
I mean, Nemirov has thousands of bombs. Why does he need to build a secret one?
Deniability. Build one nobody knows about, you could drive it.
This is not very good stuff here.
Why is that?
It just doesn't correspond with reality.
You could set it off and sit back and say, I didn't do it.
Respect, sir,
no, that would not work in the real world. When nukes go off, a lot of people are going to defecate themselves, and the results are not going to be good for anybody.
Well, of course, Cabot's wrong in this case. It's not Nemirov wasn't secretly developing one.
Right. That's pretty much what it looks like.
That's what we were told. We had a Rand Corporation.
Okay. They know their stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. He was very, very smart guy.
That's the wrong term. It's really called alpha or beta. Beta decay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wearing a pair of gloves, it won't hurt you.
Right. That surprised me.
Now, I do not know for certain that this technology exists. Taking pictures, sure, but hearing them, not so sure.
I'm not so sure either. But it sure solved a problem for us.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yes.
When they're talking about a bomb under these circumstances, a lot of red lights are going to pop off all over the world as soon as you get this report out.
Right.
I mean, big time. That looks like Baltimore, where is it?
It is. It is Baltimore, yeah. The second unit went and shot that for us. I think it may be the only shot in the film that's in Baltimore.
Yeah, I noticed.
Alas. I would have loved to have shot more there. My dad went to college in Baltimore, so I...
No, where?
Johns Hopkins.
Oh, really? What do you major in?
He was he's pre-med.
Oh, that's right.
And then did not become a doctor.
No, why not?
It's
a tough way to earn a living. Not everybody can do it.
It is a tough way.
Yes, sir. I have to go outside for just a second. Okay, I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
That's a hard girl to leave. Oh, she's a cute kid.
She's great.
Sir, I read reports.
I reviewed your military records, Jack. You can take care of yourself.
Yes, sir, but I'm not trained for that.
I'm not asking you to be an operations officer, just my eyes and ears. I can't go.
Now, this is obviously a stretch that he would send Ryan to run an errand.
I'll forgive you for this. I do it in my books. So.
I want you to give this to Clark.
But it's part of, I think it's part of why we like to follow Jack, is that he gets into stuff that he's in over his head.
Yeah, I keep dropping poor Jack in the shit. He always has to swim out. The one book I'm working on right now, he's going to find himself in the middle of some really nasty shit and go, "What am I doing here?" That's an awfully large boat to be in a lake behind a dam.
The Kremenchuk Reservoir is practically a sea. It's huge.
So this is 3 days ago.
It's pretty big.
It shows vehicles here, guards here, and here.
Sure gets around the world fast, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. It's amazing what Hollywood can do when they put their mind to it.
Yeah, gotcha. Scotty, beam us up.
Yeah.
It shows guards here.
I don't even have email.
And, you know, if we had put in shots of him getting to the airport and getting on the plane flying, we would have wound up cutting them out.
Yeah.
Audiences just fall asleep during that stuff.
No problem. Give me a couple guys, a box of tranquilizer darts. We're lucky we can be out in 6 minutes.
Well, actually, there is a problem.
At least you listened to me in the tranquilizer darts.
Yes, thank you for that, by the way, because I was uncomfortable with the notion of anybody shooting each other in that scene, even with tranq darts.
For two reasons.
And you steered us away from that.
We can't see him. Which is bad. Or worse, they left, and we're too late.
It's interesting. I didn't realize that tranquilizer darts, to be effective, you've got to weigh the person you're shooting before you shoot him.
He has a rough idea what his body mass is. Yeah, otherwise, you're going to OD him or just piss him off.
Yeah.
I'm going the mission.
Relax, 007. It's not a mission. It's just a recce.
Well, okay, fine. Whatever you call it. I don't do that. I just write reports.
Okay. So write a report about it. Suit up.
Clark, no. Clark.
That's pretty good.
Like he called him 007.
Mm-hmm. Got my ticket to the correspondence dinner. Have a good time? Never been to one of those. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
Again, it's a nice little scene.
When we finished shooting that scene, Ben and Leah hopped out of that boat and ran and grabbed the prop guy who was throwing the water on them, mm-hmm. and they dumped a bucket of water on his head.
So it wasn't really out on the water, they did that.
No, the wide shot was, but the close shot was on a stage.
Stay here and make sure no one steals my boat.
It's one of the things I would reshoot tomorrow if I could. I'd love to really shoot that on the water.
It looks really realistic.
It looks pretty good. We darkened it up so that you can't see mm-hmm. that much.
People never really do that. In Hollywood, it's always, you know.
Uh-huh.
No, they don't. By the way, what is this stuff supposed to be?
This is
sulfuric acid?
The CIA told us that they have something they call ice piss, and that you spray it. Chase Brandon described it in great detail. And I said, hey, why don't you just get us some, and we'll really use it in the scene. He says, no, I don't want to go to prison.
Ice piss. That's all right. You wouldn't use that, of course, use MVGs. But
what's MVG?
Night vision goggles.
Ah.
PBS-7s or PBS-14s.
You know what? That was in the script originally, and I forget why we took it out.
It's kind of a dead giveaway, isn't it?
It sure is. Of course, they were operating under the assumption that the guards had all gone.
That's a good but grisly scene.
Mm. With the first time we shot it, we had an animal trainer in Montreal brought these dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That one was Fifi and one was Fufu, and they were manicured show dogs, and we said no. So we had to go back weeks later and shoot wild-looking dogs.
There's something in the papers last week. Some little lady died in St. Louis or someplace, and 3 weeks later, the dog had completely eaten her body.
Man.
Well, dogs got to live, too, right?
Absolutely.
He probably waited as long as he could. I was going to whack the dog because of that.
Really?
Probably. Tough luck for the dog.
Yeah.
The giveaway would be these little switch things called Krytons.
Krytons, what's that?
It's a special little switch that you make nukes that are used only in nuclear weapons and a few other applications.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a few of those and you know what you're here for.
Лягай на землю, падла! Лягай! Стрелять буду! Стреляй у Микола! Лягай!
Oh, jeez.
Кидай зброю!
Oh, God.
Лягай на землю, падла!
Immigration didn't call you guys, huh?
That was an ad lib on his part, which I loved.
It's a pretty good scene. Pretty good job on his part.
He does a very good job of you can see him try to figure out, how am I going to get out of this, and then dazzling them with bullshit.
Okay, no papers. Please, just put the gun down, all right?
Now at that point they might just blow his ass away.
I think they might. Obviously the fear is that he's going to pull the trigger. He's going to have a chance to pull the trigger. But I know what you mean. It could go either way there.
Shoot him before he figures out what I'm saying.
Три! Два! Один!
And I was glad that Jack never fires a weapon in the movie. It's, he wins because he's smart.
Снимайте ботинки! Скидайте ботинки! Не бойся, тебя никто не тронет!
By the way, they don't wear socks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the foot bindings.
Oh, the boots are the, right. Well, I figured the Ukrainians might not...
Probably even worse. Conditions are probably even worse now.
Yeah.
About the size of a fridge. The imprint it left is pretty deep, too, so we know three things for sure. It was heavy, something was radioactive, and now it's gone.
That was one of the mistakes we made. There was no imprint. It was just the paint outline, but it was a hard floor.
Okay, so the question is...
When we shot the scene, we thought we were going to have a dirt floor in there.
Three Russian scientists sent a crate from Israel.
Tell Cabot I'm calling from Haifa.
Dylan, you better hurry.
Most people believe the 20th century was defined by the death struggle of communism versus capitalism, and that fascism was but a hiccup. Today we know better. Communism was a fool's errand. The followers of Marx gone from this earth, but the followers of Hitler are bound and thrive. Hitler, however, had one great disadvantage.
Does anybody really believe this except in Hollywood?
Well, I'll tell you, I look around the world and I think there's more fascism on the rise than communism.
Mm.
There's extreme right-wing parties doing very well in Europe these days.
Yeah, all 12 of them.
Germany could not prevail.
I mean, individuals.
The world was too big.
Well, the parties are winning elections.
Approximately, the world has changed.
If the Ku Klux Klan was running, they'd probably win a couple of seats in Alabama and Mississippi. It doesn't make them a viable political force.
And the virus does not need a strong host in order to spread. This virus...
The truck's not quite big enough for that job, but, you know.
Yeah.
The nuke of that class probably be between 1,000 and 2,000 pounds.
Let no man call us crazy. They called Hitler crazy, but Hitler wasn't crazy. He was stupid. You don't fight Russia and America.
I don't see a neo-Nazi saying that. They venerate Hitler like he was God.
No, I think this is a guy who says he's pissed off at him because he was stupid. Yeah. That a smart Hitler and a sane Hitler might have won.
A smart sane Hitler would not have served the war and killed all the Jews.
That's exactly right, yeah. Too. That's a good point.
You can't have it both ways.
That's true. But when you look at some of the mistakes that guy made, tactical mistakes, it's kind of stunning.
Is this symbolism, you know, cigarettes or houses to your health, Polly?
Well, only partially. That's part of it. Hollywood often gets criticized for glamorizing smoking, and I just wanted to make sure that they can't.
We have nuclear smokes.
They
yeah.
can't accuse us of glamorizing cigarettes.
Mm.
So what'd you find?
Ukraine doesn't exist.
Bummed a smoke off Ben last night.
Well, good. That's one less cigarette than he got then. we're trying to convince him to stop.
That's a hard habit to quit.
Yeah.
The Air Force has a nuclear assessment team. Call them.
Jack, you got. Put on a cargo freighter headed for the East Coast.
There was a friend of mine said it's actually easy quitting cigarettes. I've done it many times.
Roger. This part of the plot, I think, is a little bit too precipitous. It advances a little bit too rapidly.
Yes, we haven't set up the game for one thing, and actually there probably wasn't enough time for that that bomb to get there.
Is this CGI here?
The stadium is CGI, and the blimp is CGI, but it was a real aerial shot of the town.
Yeah, okay, I live there, I mean...
Yeah, but we put the stadium... I wanted the stadium to be as far from downtown as I could possibly
get. Decent, but they're going the wrong way there, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're going south instead of north.
Oh, boy. And, of course, the Super Bowl is always played in an open stadium.
No, not at all. They've played in dome stadiums many times.
Well, it's usually, well, certainly if we were in Baltimore, it'd be an open stadium.
Yeah, if they couldn't afford to put a dome over the PSI stadium.
Well, in Montreal, they wish they hadn't put a dome on the Olympic stadium because it doesn't work. It's supposed to be retractable, and it doesn't retract.
How'd they screw that up?
French engineer.
The French turn out good engineers. They're not dummies.
Well, no, this one didn't do such a good job.
Well, why haven't they fixed the damn thing?
They've tried. They've spent over $1 billion on it. They're still paying the bonds on the Olympic Stadium from 1976.
Dear God.
And they were very upset. All my friends in Montreal were very upset to find out that we were not actually going to blow up the Olympic Stadium.
Showtime.
Now, I know...
This is fairly realistic. You know, half people hate him, half people love him.
Yes, that worked well. I know that the Secret Service would not want him coming out in a darkened stadium. But the stadium, it was the only way we could make the scene look good. We only had about 5,000 extras.
Yeah. And a lot of them were cardboard cutouts. Yeah.
And there were some cardboard cutouts, too. And we just figured, you know, our only hope to make it look exciting was to turn the
light. How does it goes from today to night, back and forth?
Well, that's indoors. That's daytime. It's okay. In the stadium. The tough part for us is later on when we've got scenes in the United States and scenes in Russia. The temptation is always to make them look like the same time of day, but of course they're, you know, 8 to 12 hours apart, so we...
Yeah, 8.
8.
It's pretty good, too. I didn't have his phone set on vibrate.
Mm-hmm. Now, we use CGI to fill out all those seats in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
We had very few people out there.
At least you didn't do the LED thing doing a countdown.
You know what? I'm so glad you picked that up because
everybody said
to me, aren't you going to show us that there's not going to be a clock in there? And someone said, well, shouldn't we hear it ticking? I said, I don't think nukes tick.
God.
One of the many reasons we don't call the game the Super Bowl in the film is that I just didn't think we had what looked like a Super Bowl. We just didn't have the resources to stage the huge extravaganzas that those things are.
Right.
Now it's called the Afrat team. They're meeting in the docks in 20 minutes. See if we can find it.
Docks? What docks?
Baltimore. They're breaking out.
What do you say?
Baltimore.
Look, I'm losing you. I'll call you back from the
Baltimore.
That's a good old shit look.
Yeah, he's awfully good at that. And he did something very nice when we come back to him after the shot to the crowd. He takes a long look at the president before he turns to the Secret Service agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was your advice that the code word...
Let's go.
Let's go.
Oh, shit.
And we should have had a lot more Secret Service there.
Yeah, probably about 30, 40 guys total. A lot of them with rifles.
And that was my...
At this point, what's everybody in the stadiums think when they see the Secret Service rushing the president by Dodge?
Well, that's a question we don't answer. And certainly a lot of people would be leaving at this point. Which is why we got a shot of some people in the stands who weren't taking the scene seriously, and I think it works. They kind of, we cut back to the stadium, some people kind of laughing, like, huh, what was that?
Yeah.
Like these guys.
Mm-hmm. So the Florida Gators and who?
Oh, we made up two teams. I forget what they were called, Chicago Rockets or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's Camden Yards right there. And,
mm-hmm.
That could be it. It could be injured. We have no...
That is definitely not Baltimore there. That's like Kansas.
Yeah, well, it's Montreal.
Mm. That helicopter would be completely out of control. No tail rotor, they just spin...
Mm-hmm.
In a direction opposite the rotation of the main rotor. And you are in very deep doo-doo when that happens.
That's a bad thing.
Yeah. If you got a really good pilot, you just might survive. The pilot has to be really smart, has to do the right thing instantly.
Right. Now, we very intentionally showed tall buildings remaining on the right side of that frame, because I really wanted people to know the city is not destroyed. It's way on the outskirts, and it's a small yield device.
Yet or confirmation as to what, but there is an enormous crowd over the...
This was one of my favorite scenes in the film. We had real Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And
CH-53 Bravo. No, actually, they're CH-53 Echoes, the big ones that always break.
Actually, you know what? I think one of them did that day.
Mm.
One of them came, went down, but not fell down, but some system went down.
You got aboard one of these things?
God, yeah. They're huge.
They're enormous. And they told us, they said, when these things are landing or lifting up, you cannot stand within 100 feet of them. They'll knock you over.
They can't use them for air-sea rescue. You know why? The downwash drowns the people, pushes them underwater.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've never felt anything quite as powerful as a downdraft mm-hmm. from these things. They were incredible. But these Marines, Master Sergeant said to me, what do you want us to do? I said, President's in that car, get him out. And they did the rest. And
yeah.
And he said, what do you want me to say? I said, say whatever you would say. And so he says this line, Mr. President, it's the Marines to take you home, sir.
Yeah, that felt very good.
Yeah. And I think James looks so much like a president that when I get chills every time I see this. So he's battered, he's injured, he's clearly disoriented, and
pissed off. At once. Yeah,
exactly.
It's good. Yeah, it's good work.
So everything went well on this one. And the Marines, they came from a reserve unit in Pennsylvania, and they flew up that morning. And we had to negotiate with the Canadian government to let the Marines invade their country. And they said they finally said, okay, but they can't bring weapons.
And so what did they do, borrow them from the Canadian Army?
No, we gave them prop weapons.
Hmm. What told me they were real troopers is when the tank guy points his rifle down, that's how you do it, because you don't want the rifle going. If it goes off, if it goes up into the engines, you may have a problem. But
that's
down
bad.
Through the floor doesn't hurt anything.
Right. Are they armored on the floors?
Stick a screwdriver through it.
Hmm.
В Америке произошел ядерный взрыв. Мы пришли за вами.
Что?
Мы не знаем пока всех деталей. Но Россия здесь точно ни при чем.
После Грозного на это можно только надеяться.
Мы готовим для вас заявление о непричастности.
И выражение соболезнований.
Хорошо, господин президент.
Еще, Юрий.
Да.
You know, there are a few scenes forward of this that makes me think that Anastasio actually did at least leaf through my book. This is good, too. The way you do this.
Without the sound in there.
You know, because you really can't, in those circumstances, you can't hear anything.
Right.
Like they did with Tom Hanks on Normandy Beach and his Private Ryan.
Oh, right.
A friend of mine, retired four-star, says that's exactly the way it is. The first thing you got to do is get control of yourself, then get control of one or two other people, then get your unit together and start accomplishing things. But the first thing you do is get control of yourself, which ain't easy.
Right.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, in the movies, the pilot's always killed, the passenger always survives.
Well, I'll say something. We
By the way, the pilot on the helicopter sits on the right, not on the left.
Yeah, we had him on the right. He flopped around as the thing came down. But it's the reason that we have Ben sitting with his back to the pilot. When he jumps in the plane, he's strapped in, sitting backwards, because we wanted to have at least some plausibility to the fact that he might survive.
What kills you is spinal compression.
Mm-hmm.
Throws his ass aboard kneecap, get him the hell out of Dodge.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's Ryan.
Jack, where are you?
I don't know, somewhere outside Baltimore.
Listen, Kevin got the president out.
Where's the president now?
They're taking him airborne. He's on NAOC.
Why?
They think it might be the Russians.
It wasn't the Russians. I got to talk to Kevin. Can you patch me through to the plane?
Kevin's not on the plane. We don't know where he is. We just know he's not there. Can you call back in about an hour?
We don't have an hour. The fellow's going to want to show how tough he's going to hit back now.
Listen to me.
See, in the book, Fowler's modeled on Michael Dukakis.
Right.
Well, can you get back to Langley?
And because, see, the way... It's the left-wing guys who end up throwing the nukes, not the right-wing guys.
Where are they?
Because they get themselves back into corners, and then to the point their only alternative is to lash out with nukes. Whereas people on the right wing tend to stop it early. It's just the way, I mean, I'm not making that up for political reasons, it's just the way it plays out.
Oh, I'd be happy to debate that one with you some other time. I really blew something in this scene. First of all, I should have had more Marines running around here.
Or Air Force. He's in the
Air Force.
So, yeah.
But also, the Secret Service guys with their hands in their jackets.
No, they have the weapons out.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't see. I was so far away, and there was so much dust being kicked up. It was only when we saw the dailies I saw what those guys were doing. They were extras. And I thought, oh, no. I wish I could reshoot that.
No, the Secret Service is never bashful about having weapons out.
They want you to know what's going on. And this is a very, very accurate NAOC interior.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get it? Or is this one of these things that everybody in Hollywood puts money in to build a standing set that everybody can use?
No, this we built from scratch.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't think there is one of these. And I've flown on the NAOC a couple of times.
This is too much goddamn bullshit!
We had the NAOC pilot, come to the set, and he walked through and he said, you know, I feel like I'm on my plane.
Good.
Dubinin?
Herr Faft has left for America, and now we are counting on you.
I assure you, I will earn every penny.
Now, in reality, could he send these guys off?
No, he wouldn't know where to go. I mean, a blip is a blip.
Right.
And there's like 50,000 ships at sea all across the world at any given time. Mm-hmm. And only 12 of them are aircraft carriers.
Right.
So first you have to locate the target. And that's the hard part.
But a carrier group shouldn't be that hard to find, should it?
Yeah, but you find them with radar, and they're going to notice somebody's got a downbeat radar on them.
Right.
And they're going to get annoyed by that. And by the way, the carriers do have fighters up. And the Aegis cruisers are all going to be up and rotating.
Right.
Our guys are afraid of Aegis cruisers. You're talking a 6 million watt radar. And if you're close to it, you're going to have funny looking kids. That's no joke.
Look, pal, we're collecting samples, then we have to analyze the debris. So take a number, get in line, and we'll have the report out tomorrow.
Captain. I don't have time for this.
And we actually had Afrat come to the set and give us these uniforms, the costumes, the props.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, where are you?
And the rover.
I think this is about as far as we go. Our feet are sizzling. And I'm getting ramped here at nearly the limit of our gear.
Okay. Cut the rover loose and get the hell out of here.
Roger that.
Dylan, the crate the bomb was shipped in. Somebody had to sign for it when it got to port. Customs must have a database. Get me a name. And where's Captain?
No one knows. We're checking the hospital.
Have you tried Memorial?
It wouldn't be there. It's on the other side of the...
No, I mean, is it still...
That's always going to drive you crazy, isn't it? Memorial.
It's Kathy's hospital.
Yeah. Now it'll drive me crazy because you mentioned it. Thanks.
All right.
Tough world, pal.
Thanks.
It's only the best hospital in the world.
Johns Hopkins.
Sats might not have picked it up.
Now just a minute. We don't know that this is Russia.
But we don't know it's not.
Look, if they were sending us a message like stay out of Chechnya, the whole point would be for us to know it was them, not to sneak one in.
Except that they could inspire...
That's a line I would change tomorrow.
Going through right now.
Mr. President, we're up late.
Nobody's the voice of reason here. That's kind of disappointing.
President Nemiroff.
But
a short time ago, there was a major nuclear event
in
the
book.
Seaboard of the United
States. I structured this very carefully.
Severe. No accident.
He said one bad piece of information followed to the wrong city.
We don't yet know where it came from. We don't. We have not yet ascertained the source of this weapon. Rest assured.
Most severely. That's an understatement.
Whoa, that was a little fast.
Please accept the deepest sympathy.
Now, the one thing about the NAOC plane that is not accurate is this circular table with the...
I believe it's not big enough, yeah.
Yeah, that this doesn't exist, but we realized that we had to have something that people could be standing around so we could actually shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
Prepared that in advance.
President Nemiroff, we have no reason...
And when I put this in the book, thank God you're right to remember it, the reason is... All politicians do that, and they never recognize they do it.
the canned responses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right, they're so used to writing statements for public consumption,
exactly, yeah.
They forget how it reads in private.
No, Nikita Khrushchev once said, politicians are the same all over the world, we all build bridges where there are no rivers. He was probably right.
Yeah.
This is process, I presume, the backfire.
Yes, it is.
It sure looks very realistic. God, you can do anything now with that stuff.
It's incredible. Those are completely animated in a computer.
Well, if you can make a stegosaurus look real, I guess you can make a backfire look real.
Exactly.
That's actually a rather neat airplane.
The backfires?
Yeah. Russians had great airplane designers, but the engines were always crummy and the electronics weren't worth a damn. And that, Phil, is the hardest kill in the world.
A carrier.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's true.
74. I wonder which one that is. Let's look that up.
Where?
And no, there's like 10 ships around a carrier to keep her safe. I mean, because she's such a valuable asset. And oh, by the way, how'd the Russians find it?
There. It's a weak signal. Low on the horizon.
Yeah. Inbound contact.
We called the Navy and we said, how do we sink a carrier? And they said, well, first of all, please don't sink it. I said, okay, we won't sink it. We'll damage it, but how do we do that? And they said, if you fire enough cruise missiles, enough missiles at it, you can get through, but there's got to be a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they let us really shoot the Sea Whiz and the carrier. Obviously, that was a miniature. But this is a real aerial shot that we took of a carrier during the day, and we added the flames in the night around it.
Gotcha.
He did a good job on that, I thought.
It's almost as hard as sinking a battleship, and believe me, that is very difficult.
Right.
That the missiles came from Russian aircraft, there is no question.
Grinnell thinks that he can save the ship, but flight ops are definitely out.
Didn't have to add that scene. Flight ops definitely out. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. We put that in mostly for the line of Grinnell thinks he can save the ship, because the Navy made a point of saying... don't sink it.
It's a hard kill.
Yeah.
We sprosely bombed on Hiroshima. We sprosely bombed on Nagasaki. Ne vam chitat ne maral pra chechnyu.
Lecture me on Chechnya.
Mr. President, we are now at a de facto state of war with the Russians.
That was a little bit too much. It's a bit of a stretch.
It's a
little
dramatic.
I don't know where he is today, but he may have sense.
Yeah.
We have to find him right away.
Wow. Check out that gadolinium reading.
Yeah, the mass fraction is huge.
Okay, connect me to Dylan, will you? I'll hold.
There it is. Savannah River.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, what?
They always have that gadolinium problem. Hanford does it another way. They always generate too much promethium.
He used a close-up of his mouth there because I don't think people would understand what he was saying unless they actually could read his lips.
Plutonium came from
it's one of my favorite twists in the story is that it was our plutonium.
That's because we gave our special nuclear material to Israel first back under the Johnson administration back around 68. And you can fingerprint the special nuclear material by the trace elements.
Right.
I
Are you advocating we launch a first strike?
It is not a first strike!
Well, our DOD advisor complained about the scene. He says, you know, the NAOC does not get bumpy during refueling. And I got to say to him, actually, I've been on it during 3 refuelings, and the Secretary of Defense was passing out the anti-nausea pills. So they backed down off that objection.
You know, what happens is the Air Force, when we hop across the Atlantic once on a C-5, and they were going to do a refueling, I kept saying no. And finally, at the 600, I said, what part of no do you guys fail to understand? No, I am not going to do that.
It's very bumpy.
No, I mean, it's the ultimate immoral act. It's 2 airplanes having sexual congress at 30,000 feet and 200 knots. I mean, come on.
Well, the pilot of the plane being refueled has the responsibility of keeping in sync with the tanker, and he's making constant adjustments on the
oh, I know.
Plane. It's
I'm going to prove it's impossible in the simulator at Dover Air Force Base. I could not. I could do anything else with a sim. I couldn't do that. Then they told me the sim's actually harder than reality.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because the plane develops like a bow wave that stabilizes the tanker aircraft.
Oh, I see. Sir.
Shame you're going to die, Morgan. You're a good guy.
Yes, he is. He made a very nice choice in this scene. He decided that his injuries were a crushed chest.
He's fine.
So it's a very minimal amount of movement, and he can barely get words out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not why he's not thrashing about and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty heavily medicated anyway.
Yeah.
She's fine. She's in D.C. The blast radius, wasn't it? It wasn't that wide.
We had, this was our FEMA set, and FEMA actually came down and helped us set things up.
It was ours. John Clark's in Haifa right now, trying to track down the army.
One of the confusions that we've had, some people saw that the ash from the fires outside, and they assumed that was fallout.
Mm.
So we put an off-camera line in an earlier scene saying, you know, the ash from the fires is not radioactive.
Yep. Actually, there's not much in the way of residual radiation from a weapon of that type.
Right. And not just a weapon of that type, but also a subsurface burst. You know, under a concrete structure really limits it. We were told that there'd be about a quarter to a half mile that was very hot, and then the radiation falls off pretty quick.
Yeah, about right.
But the fallout, actually, there's like a corridor of fallout that just the wind...
Follows the wind.
Follows the wind, yeah. It's like a mile wide and 10 miles long or something like that.
Teardrop shape, yeah. Ben comes off as just a really smart kid in this movie. Of course, that's what he, I mean, he really is a smart kid.
That's right.
He does extraordinarily well with this material.
I agree. He's very honest, and he doesn't overdo it, which is the temptation in a film like this would be to get too much.
Sorry, I need this truck.
For a young guy, he's got the brains to be low-key.
Yes, and the confidence to be low-key.
Yeah.
And what's very impressive about him is that he was willing to be, in the first half of the film, sort of a duck. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's willing to show how green he is as the character, and there's a lot of movie stars who wouldn't want to show that sort of vulnerability or imperfection.
Here's the Hollywood sacrament. The car never starts. I mean, it's like in Them. The giant ants are coming to get you, and the car won't start.
Right. Well, it's like the unwritten rule that you never fill up the tank with gas. The car has always got gas in it.
Mm-hmm. I've got to get one of those PDAs. I don't have one now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I just got a modem in mind. It's pretty great. I can check my email and surf the web from my handheld.
Even typos, I like. That's a good touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the people who prepare those things for us always have them perfect, you know, with capital letters. And I said to them, you ever used one of these?
Huh.
Try typing on it.
Yep, went to Israel out someplace in Pennsylvania. And it was blacked up, you know, blacked out by Lyndon Johnson. Probably a good idea. Now the Israelis have their own reactor at Dimona where they cook their plutonium. Good scene. See, and when a bomb of that relatively small size goes off, the principal damage to the surrounding area is fire.
It's fire, absolutely.
It hit Hiroshima wasn't blown down, it was burned down.
That's right. The photographs, we looked at a lot of them, of Hiroshima, is just stunning. The fires, inside buildings miles away, the papers burned.
Yeah.
That's how hot that thing was.
And Japanese cities were fire traps. They didn't know what a fire-resistant building was.
Right. Something like 90% of Tokyo burned down during the war from the air.
Oh, yeah.
Can't afford for them to see us as weak. We've got to know we have the guts to take it to the next level.
I think they'll get that message.
Hit them.
It wouldn't happen this fast in reality, but... You know, in the movies, you have to compress a lot of stuff. Why only three? They always deploy in fours, by the way.
You know, I think that in the second unit shot this, it was a National Guard in, I think it was Vermont or New Hampshire, I forget which, gave us these jets. And I think there were four, and one of them had to abort that day.
Hmm.
The bombs are CGI. We had to add those, because they wouldn't actually drop bombs for us.
I don't know if F-16s can actually drop those things. I have to check. And it's obviously Gulf War, Phil.
Yes. Kosovo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because one of them was British. They have different symbology.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's a D-4 or D-5 Trident, not a D-3.
Ah.
He actually fixed that, but...
D-3 is the old...
D-3 is Poseidon, D-4 is a Trident 1, and D-5 is a Trident 2, and that is a counterforce weapon.
Right.
But it takes them a long while to get from Kings Bay to where they can shoot. Well, not that long,
but still,
they don't just loose the lines and fire.
Right.
I don't want anyone to move because there's too much broken glass everywhere. Just stay where you are. We will get back to you. Good. Okay, fine. Please.
And this is Moynihan. She sounds like a Brit there.
No, that's the other doctor, Rita Russell. We made a decision not to show a lot of gore.
Probably a mistake, but you know when people throwing up in their popcorn.
Yeah, I think a little of this goes a long way. I think they get the point.
Okay. Sir, we're gonna take care
of my beef with Gladiator was didn't show enough.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with the ones we know won't make it? Whatever we can.
What?
Bill Cabot died. I'm really sorry. This can't be happening.
See, this is where the four stars at NORAD, Sacklant, and elsewhere, they're deliberately trained to keep the president calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I know a guy who, you know, and he described the training. I mean, but essentially, it, Mr. President, let's keep it cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But says, you know, the military guys, they're used to dealing with bad stuff.
Right, and they're trained to stay cool. And the assumption is that the civilian is more susceptible to
it. Oh, yeah, and that's true.
Yeah. Now, we had some people complaining that his cell phone would work here, but our research was that...
Probably wouldn't, yeah.
That he's miles...
It's a robust system.
Yeah, and it was a very...
There's so many nodes.
Very low-yield subsurface blast would not necessarily have taken out his phone miles away.
It's the towers.
Sure.
I mean, it's the system is so multi...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, multi-located that's,
right.
That is why we published that it should be fairly robust.
How do you say it happened?
He will not talk about it.
Nice Range Rover.
Was anyone else exposed to the materials that made you sick?
This is bullshit, by the way. Unless he was one of the machinists, which is how I do it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get sick just from looking at a sphere of plutonium.
position. Well, this is the guy who did stick his hand in.
So?
And we said later that it was corroded.
Hmm. That very unlikely would hurt him.
Really?
My friend.
It's the radiation coming off plutonium is just alpha and beta decay, which alpha will hardly penetrate your skin, and beta won't even go through a shirt.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So how do you get sick from it?
You don't. Unless you inhale it, then it attacks your lungs directly, so you get an instant lung cancer. You don't want to have sleep with it under your pillow, but mm-hmm. a casual contact like that is not really all that dangerous. And the Manhattan Project, I mean, they were handling the parts of the weapon.
Wow.
With bare hands.
Any of them get sick?
One of them fried when he let the two spheres hemispheres get together, and it started going critical on him, and he got cooked.
Wow.
It's the movie that Paul Newman did, Manhattan Project.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, Fat Man and Little Boy.
Right.
And Newman was good in that. But it's a fairly good representation of the incident where the young physicist got cooked.
His name is Olson. I live in Damascus.
I mean, why don't you make a damn apple? I'm an apple driver.
Oh, you want to use that old apple technology, huh? Is it the coal burning apple or the wood burning apple? What do you
like? It's like my Mercedes. I have burning. It's wood powered. Yeah.
Well, we didn't want to make Olsen too hip. We wanted to give him an old IBM.
Crap. Actually, that's what they use in the hotline because it's such obsolete technology.
Right.
Good mind giving it to the Russians.
We actually saw the treaty, the protocol that set it up. It actually spells out that the technology on both sides has to be the same.
Yeah.
And that we supply it.
Mm-hmm. I think they're IBM. They're old IBM XTs. I've been there. I've seen it.
Now, tell me about snap count. You invented that term, is that right?
Well, it's because the real word was, they used one point in time, was cocked pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And snap count just, you know, conveys pretty much the same.
Mobilize our
fighters. Instant readiness.
And it's instant readiness. It's preparation. It's not the actual...
No. Snap count means you're getting ready. You're ready to push the button, but you haven't pushed it yet.
Right.
Odds are, we'll eat nimble.
This, you could have done this a little better by... A little more exposition on how the president is thinking this way, but
mm-hmm.
I guess it would have cost you maybe 10 minutes.
What sorts of things could we have had in there?
Just, you know, well, the way I do it in the book, you know, the intellectual process of getting from point A to point B
mm-hmm.
is not really described very well here. Now, I don't know that anybody is quite this crazy, but... I've never sat in on a saga game, so I don't know.
Sir, I believe he'll keep his 300 nukes. It's still a credible deterrent against some future aggressor. I think he'll push back from the table and call it a night.
I'm giving the order for snap count. Maximum readiness.
Jack, we're in Olsen's files. He shows wire payments of $45 million from someone named Dressler.
Dylan, go run Dressler, find out who he is. Jack, I really want you out of there.
Okay, I'm at the docks. I think there's somebody inside.
See if the name Dressler's anywhere.
No, Jack, get out of there. Dylan, call him Baltimore PD, give him the address. Hurry. Jack, wait for the cops.
Okay, man.
And obviously in real life, I think there'd be other people involved by this time, but just for economy's sake, we...
Don't overlook the chaos factor. People are going to be running around like... decapitated chickens. Okay, here comes another movie segment. The bad guy and the good guy have to go.
That's right.
Fist to fist.
They have to go fist to fist. However, the thing that I was actually proud of about this is that
it doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. It doesn't lead to. He doesn't get any information from the guy. He doesn't get the key to something. The actor playing Haft is a stuntman, an athlete named Sven Ole Thorsen, and he is the sweetest, gentlest guy.
Oh, they always are, yeah.
He's a lovely guy. And he was always asking Ben, you know, are you okay? You know, was that too tight? And the part I love about this fight is when Ben says, wait, wait, which is the natural tendency when you see somebody coming at you, and you never see that in a movie fight.
Real fights are a lot closer to 8-year-old girls in a playground than what you're really seeing.
I know. I know. And less punching and more kind of grappling. Who's dressing?
Where is he, goddammit?
And in the movies, the cops show up pretty fast.
Yeah, always.
In real life, it takes about 45 minutes.
Yeah, you know, the old joke, call for an ambulance, a cop, and a piece, and see who gets there first.
Langley said you might need some help. I gotta get to the Pentagon. I think I can help you with that.
And how would the cop know Langley said you might need some help?
Well, when the last time we were at Langley, they said call the Baltimore PD, get them down there to help Jack, so...
Most people don't associate Langley with CIA.
Well, I'm assuming that you have educated the audience to the point where they can...
Not that much. There's two Langleys in Virginia. Anyway, one's an Air Force base, but down to Tidewater.
Right.
How the hell do they know the self-bombers have just lifted off?
Well, don't they have, don't they monitor this stuff? They have radar, they have satellites.
The whole point of stealth, Phil, is you can't see it on radar at all.
Well, the satellites don't pick them up?
If the satellite is overhead at that particular moment, they only do that twice a day.
Mr. President.
But how about taking off, though? Don't they leave a, don't they, they have a thermal?
If you have a KGB guy on the ground with a cell phone and is sitting in his car watching the airfield, yeah.
Get a doctor in here.
David?
Mr. President.
David, where's your nitro?
I said get a doctor in here.
Mr. President.
David, have you been a chase here?
Take
him
to my board.
Yes. Colonel, bring
him
the launch
code. Good. He wasn't a good character anyway. The Russians, I guarantee you, don't have anything of that technology, that sufficiently advanced technology.
Is that right?
No, they're pretty backward electronics. Unless they bought it from us.
Then he got booted out for saying nice things about the Nazis.
Rudy, you got to get me through to the president.
I can't do it, Jack.
Come on, get me through.
They're in the snap count, Jack. There's no way in.
Bullshit!
You know, this shot looks to me like a special effect, but it's the... We really shot a B-2.
Really?
Yeah. And it looks like a toy.
Made out of plastic. The first time I saw it, they wouldn't let me touch it. They were trying to figure out, you know, how the stealth worked from just touching the thing. The Maryland State Police helicopters don't look like that, but you know that, of course.
Right. This scene, which is one of my favorites, was Ben's idea.
Really?
First time we met, he says, you know, when I run into the Pentagon, it's too easy. He says, I think I should have Cabot's card, and it doesn't work. And I've got to, like, argue with the guy, and then it opens up. And I thought, that's great.
In reality, those guys do have brains. And yeah.
And they would say, just give me the... They would take the card. And they'd look at the card. I just like the fact that things don't work right.
In the movies, they never do. Yeah.
In the movies, it's like you go right through. And it's just, in reality, these things don't always open the gate.
There they probably do. That looks like the real Pentagon there.
Yes. Yeah, the art department did a very good job in this, and the NMCC is actually, I think, very close. They did.
I've been there twice. Yeah.
They do quite a good job.
Urgent message from Director Cabot that I need to transmit over the hotline immediately.
What's your authorization?
I don't have an authorization.
Well, then where's Cabot?
Cabot's dead, sir. I just need to get this information sent, please.
Not without authorization, you don't get him out of here.
What? Wait a minute. General, the president is basing his decisions on some really bad information right now. And if you shut me out, your family and my family and 25 million other families will be dead in 30 minutes.
Now, I remember talking to some folks at the Pentagon saying, could somebody actually talk their way into this? And they said, look, the reason that there is a flag officer in charge is to make a judgment call.
Yeah. That's the whole point of the NMCC.
Right.
He doesn't have to.
На каком расстоянии к вам дорожчики?
По данным наших радаров, господин президент, они уже на территории Польши.
See, stealth is so diabolical. You never know it was there. You know they were out there somewhere, but you wouldn't know where.
Mm-hmm.
It's like trying to track a bumblebee. The trouble is, there's like 20 billion bumblebees in the air, and only one of them's the bomber.
Right.
You have about a minute for the launch sequence to process after you give the order. Before the order can be taken, an ID check must be performed.
Well, I thought the one they shot down over Serbia.
Oh, I know what happened there. It takes too long to explain, but
the guy made a mistake.
They saw it visually, and you can electro-optically guide one of those missiles visually, and that's they saw the guy.
I see.
You can't make him visually stealthy.
Mm-hmm.
The order to strike it.
That's next.
Under the two-man rule, the order.
That's gonna be awfully hard.
That's a tough one.
I mean, even Star Trek, that wasn't easy.
Right.
Oh, for the love of God.
It was a B-2. It was a 117.
But aren't there moments in the flight of a stealth bomber where it is visible on radar, for instance, when the bomb bay doors open? Or
no, for example, the Spy-1 radars where an Aegis cruiser or destroyer can track a stealth.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter because the missile guidance radars can't.
Right.
So you'll know roughly where it is, plus or minus a mile or so.
That's not going to help you.
But you can't. Doesn't mean shit.
They've had their chance.
No, somebody's talking to the Kremlin.
When we were taken into the hotline, the Molink room,
mm-hmm.
we were very surprised. It was just this narrow white room with a bunch of PC
like three.
Yeah.
Well, unless they changed it since then, but I mean, it was very underwhelming.
Very underwhelming, and that's what impressed me about it. That's what I actually liked about it, is that it's not the big fancy war room that you'd see in
Hollywood. Always over tarts things up.
Yeah.
The funny thing is the SAC headquarters, the war room at SAC, it's actually modeled from a movie set. I swear, it really is. They were going to rebuild it, and the guy says, "Hey, this I forget which movie it was. Might have been Failsafe, probably." And that's not a bad idea. Let's try that. They did.
Wow.
I've been there. You know.
Well, I was in Cheyenne Mountain many years ago, and that was a big room with a big board. And when we went to the Pentagon, we said, "Show us the war room," and it looks like the accounting department of a small advertising agency. It's a bunch of guys at card tables with laptops with Dilbert screensavers on them, running Windows 98.
Mm-hmm.
Не верю. Ни одному слову не верю. Этот Райан агент ЦРУ. Судьба страны не должна зависеть от слов врага.
Если не будете бунта слушаться.
Yeah, you know, the wise old guy. He's good at that part.
He's very good. Because he's always thinking.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of one of my lawyers.
Back. Stefanichis.
What guarantee do I have that President Fowler will follow suit?
None. Никаких. Господин президент, пора принимать решение.
A lot of people were very surprised to find out that the hotline is, in fact, computer terminals.
You know, I mean, it used to be phones. No, it's always been printers because
it was teletype originally.
You could tell things from the tone of a guy's voice.
But you're still about to launch a nuclear strike against us.
Yes, sir.
This no longer has anything to do with Baltimore. Now it's about fear.
Dr. Ryan.
Our fear of your missiles, your fear of ourselves.
Move away from the keyboard.
Fear of being weak, fear of making a mistake.
Sergeant, move away from the keyboard.
Fear of the other guy that has built these goddamn bombs in the first place.
Stopped.
I thought it was very good that you called the film, the book, The Sum of All Fears, and I wanted to make sure that we had the...
It wasn't my first title.
Oh, what was it?
The Field of Camelan. But Putnam, they were afraid it sounded too much like Vietnam.
Right. I just thought fear was a very good theme to keep alive, because it is part of what drives people.
Wars are begun by frightened men.
That's right. They're afraid not
Mr.
to go
President?
To war.
Yep. World War I is like the quintessential model for that. They got a whole bunch of people killed, including my grandfather, because
we will maintain our defensive alert for the
they were afraid not to go to war.
Right. Barbara Tuchman's book is
brilliant. Pretty good work. Yeah.
Brilliant analysis of that.
But even in her case, I mean, she, you know, she, She made the Germans worse than they really were. Interestingly enough, the most warlike country prior to World War I wasn't Germany, it was France. I read that in a book by a fellow named Neil Ferguson, who's a Brit. I read that and I thought, this is crazy, but then he shows his data, and his data's all good. Usually the mark of a good historian. When I went to her parents last night, I said, am I allowed to say your daughter is a dish? She seems like a nice kid, too.
Very nice. She's very nice.
Supervillains always listen to good classical music.
Absolutely. Very tasty.
Which opera is this, you know?
This is Nessun Dorma from Turandot by Puccini. They're actually Montreal policemen.
Oh, okay. Gives you a nice warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Are they supposed to be KGB?
Yeah, or what's the equivalent now, whatever that's called.
SVR, I think.
SVR.
Oh, and another health Nazi note here. The cigarette lighter sets it off. Oh, God. Come on. Is that just a little bit tacky, Phil?
You're talking like a smoker, Tom.
Well, actually, well, at least you didn't have the guy with the little thing with the red button and the antenna that comes up.
I'll tell you the real reason. We were thinking they'd be smarter than to just tie to the ignition, because he's going to have somebody start his car. So it would be tied to something that they know about him. And the first instinct was that we thought, oh, well, let's have him be a classical music lover, and he always turns to a certain station. So when he turns in that station, we thought that's a little arcane. And we thought we'd tie this into the cigarette theme. And then somebody, I forget who it was on the crew, said, don't have it be when he pushes the thing down, because that's when the audience expects it. Have it be when the lighter pops up.
Well, it's not a bad scene. It's a shame he had to waste a perfectly good Mercedes. Or
perfectly good car, and it actually set off the alarm in that next car.
I'm not surprised.
And I liked having Grishkov be there to show that this was multilateral.
Mm-hmm. The Russians, the KGB knows how to kill people. They usually let the Bulgarians do it.
Is that right?
Yep. They signed a protocol back in 64, and the Bulgarian security service, I think it's called DS security service, agreed to do all the wet work for KGB, so they have a theory of separation.
Wow. But it was important to show that Jack is back to being the anonymous analyst, so he can play that role in the next film, too.
It is a lovely day.
Yeah.
And here we're back to the omniscient intelligence guys, which they're really not, of course. But
right.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you.
Whoever the hell you are.
Why am I not surprised you know her name?
They go into a conversation here they probably wouldn't go into in front of Kathy, but It's also charming that they're in this post-Cold War era being frank about these things.
Perhaps he didn't know you well enough.
Cabot did tell me he had a source in Russia.
To keep the back channels open.
In hopes of staving off disaster.
President Kennedy said, our most basic common link.
So your next book has the young Jack Ryan.
Yeah, I wrote it deliberately for Ben. Yeah.
Great. And what year is it set in?
Oh, roughly 1982.
Uh-huh. We all cherish our children's future.
And nobody gets killed in the whole book.
Great.
It's hard to write books like that.
Yes, it is.
So very much talking to William.
Me too.
Perhaps from time to time, you and I can talk.
Yeah, I'd like that.
What is this?
A modest gift for your engagement.
He just asked me this morning.
We haven't told anybody about... How could you possibly know?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's good. And on that note,
I think it's a little overdone, but yeah,
it's a good ending.
The omniscient spooks—they're not, and they really are not. Trust me. Otherwise, they wouldn't call me in for stuff.
Right.
Well, on the whole, not a bad job, Phil.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate that, and I congratulate you on all the books. And
thank you, sir.
And it was a pleasure and honor talking to you today.
I don't know what the honor part, but it's been fun.
Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Pieces of the past and sorrow.
remember.